Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Mini Crush.
I want my mini crush. I've been wanting to do this for so long.
I want my mini crush ribs.
No, it's mini crush ribs.
Yeah. I want my mini crush.
And then like it's that, Noel. Barbecue sauce.
Well, Noel, when did that commercial premiere?
I would say early aughts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not an old bit?
I don't think so. No.
What was that, Chili's?
It was Chili's, yeah.
I'm even going to look this up.
I think you should.
Because that's the dumbest thing ever to look up.
Let's see. I want a date, though. The inventor of the Chili's Baby Back Ribs song has never eaten baby back ribs.
Wow, and look at this. Someone has the original.
Oh, 90s.
In the studio.
Oh, no, this guy, his name is Guy Bomarito, and he was the quote-unquote Don Draper of the 90s.
The guy who wrote the...
The guy who wrote it, and he's never eaten Chili's baby back ribs.
Gotcha.
What do you got?
Well, this is a YouTube of the gentleman in the studio singing it.
It's the guy? Or is it just, did they hire somebody to do it?
Well, yeah, it's a singer. What's his name here? I'm trying to give him due props. Alvin Chia.
Uh-huh. Not familiar with his work. Largely a session man, I imagine.
I guess so. Well, actually, he was the lead singer of The Temptations from 77 to 80.
Oh, well, that's kind of a big deal.
It's a very big deal.
Well, that was sort of a latter-day Temptations period, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
The Smokey Robinson was the Miracles.
That's right.
He was the lead singer for The Temptations. Man, we're the worst. Did I even say welcome to Mini Crush? Yeah. Or that was the Baby Back Rib
song?
That
was the impetus. So the Temptations lead singer originally
I can't believe
was,
that this is a show.
I don't know, you guys. You guys, look, we're doing our...
I can't believe this is a show.
Otis Williams? No.
Oh, God.
What do you mean you can't believe this is the show? There was David Ruffin, Otis Williams, Paul Williams, the baritone, Eddie Kendricks was the tenor, Melvin Franklin on the bass.
And Lemmy Kilmister.
Yes, on the other bass. Oh, R.I.P. Lemmy. What do you got today, Chuck? How you doing?
I'm doing great, Noel. And the reason this has all just been so ham-fisted. I thought that was from the 80s, and this is an 80s episode. That's the big surprise.
Well, hey, if you'd clue me into these things, I might be able to drop some more theme-appropriate references.
Well, you want me to send you a fucking syllabus?
No, send me a memo, an email, a text. I don't know. I like the 80s. I love the 80s. Remember that?
No.
Yeah, of course you do. It was those clip shows where they like talk about the 80s with different talking heads on VH1.
I never saw those, but I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
You lived the 80s, though, didn't you, Chuck? You lived them.
I lived them. I don't need to see what Michael Ian Black has to say about him.
No, but gosh, he's charming, isn't he?
No, he's great.
Mm-hmm.
But he was on those shows.
He's
right?
on one of those shows. Sure. Paul Scheer's on them occasionally.
Oh, really?
There's a lot of kind of regular usual suspects on those types of shows.
I bet that was a fun little gig for them.
I bet it was.
Make a little change, go in there and just talk about the 80s?
Exactly.
Why didn't they get me? I wasn't around back then. You know,
we were around today
in any sort of notable way.
And we're going to hear you talk about the 80s.
All right, Noel. So what we're going to start out with for the 80s, and I see I've gathered my paper over here. All I need is a Sharpie, and you know what's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Noel's Holes, 80s Edition.
Boom.
It's time for Noel's Holes.
I thought I had done this before. Have I?
I don't think so.
But I asked on the Movie Crushers page, and they said, no, not 80s specific.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Can you throw me that Sharpie?
Thank
you.
Float it on over to you.
Oh, that was pretty, such a delicate
that
touch.
That was pretty good, right? Yeah. You caught it.
It's all on the wrist. All right, Noel.
I'm ready.
You are handicapped a bit because I know that you are of a man of the 90s.
Yeah, I was born in 1983.
Yeah.
So I remember the tail end of the 80s, which... pretty indistinguishable from the beginning of the 90s.
But your early movie watching days, you didn't have much 80s in there.
No. I mean, well, you know, that's not entirely true because
you probably started movies when you were five or six.
I was watched a lot of Blockbuster, a lot of VHS things. So I watched a lot of things from the tail end of the 90s because they kind of carried over into my movie watching days. Excuse me, the tail end of the 80s.
But plus you go back and you watch stuff from other eras,
of course.
All right, we'll see how you do.
And I'm a student of history.
I went with all kinds of genres and very pretty kind of iconic 80s movies, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't try and like mess you up as usual. The Breakfast Club.
I've not seen it. Not entirely. Seen some of – that's the one where they're in detention, right?
That is the one where they're in detention.
Yeah. I've seen some key scenes probably on I Love the 80s.
Okay.
But I've not seen all the way through.
All right. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Fatal Attraction.
No. Seen Basic Instinct.
Those are two different movies.
I know, but they, you know, similar number of syllables in the name, so they have similar types of stories.
Noel, number three, Basic Instinct.
Yes.
Good job. Noel, number four, Just One of the Guys.
I don't even know what this is. Mm-hmm. No.
I had a feeling on that one, but it is, there are a lot of people out there grinning right now because that was one of those teen comedy. High school teen comedies of the 80s that there were so many of, but the cream rose to the top in this case.
I like cream. I like things that are on top.
Jesus.
Hey,
what does that even mean?
I don't know. I have nothing to add because I haven't seen this movie, so I've got
cream, get on top.
Exactly. See? Oh, my God. Bringing it back.
All right. Noel, number five, a movie called Flashdance.
No.
I just watched that for the first time, Noel.
I will say this, though, Chuck. I saw it on the shelf at Blockbuster a lot, and I was slightly titillated.
Sure.
Because it looked – I thought it was a dirty movie because the name Flashdance, it makes me think of, you know, being flashed like by a flasher, implying nudity.
No, they do not take their clothes
off. That's right.
They're dance I guess you would call exotic dancers, but they're really
– tasteful.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like they're doing real dancing up there.
What does the name refer to?
It's flash dancing.
What does that
mean?
I don't know what that is, though.
I guess that's what they're doing. It's called the fucking flash dance. They never address it. They're never like, so this flash dance thing we're doing is great.
Is it like a flash mob? Remember flash mobs?
Yeah, I've never been in one.
But you're aware of this phenomenon. Yeah.
Flash dance is a good movie.
Okay. Is that the one that's got Time of My Life?
No movie.
That's from Dirty Dancing.
Noel, number six, Dirty Dancing.
No, okay. I've never seen Dirty Dancing. Does Havana Nights count?
I would give you credit if you saw that.
No, I haven't seen that either.
Number seven, I just called your bluff. No. Number seven, the great, great Steven Spielberg film, Always.
I am not aware of this as a movie that exists in the world. What?
Richard Dreyfuss and Holly Hunt.
Hunter? Yeah.
Holly Hunter, Richard Dreyfuss, John Goodman.
Uh-huh.
80s movie.
Steven Spielberg.
Audrey Hepburn's last role.
What is it? What is it about?
It is great.
Is it a romance?
Uh-huh. It is a movie about a flame jumper, like a pilot who dumps, you know, on firefighters. Firefighters?
Yeah. Jesus. Fires.
What is wrong with me today? Forest fires. And this is not a spoiler because it's the whole premise of the film. He dies in an accident, and that's Richard Dreyfuss, and he is a ghost looking after her in the afterlife, and she falls in love with a young new pilot, and he sort of has to either let go or, like, you know, at first he's trying to prevent that from happening because his heart is broken.
Okay.
Very good
movie. So a very old Hollywood big sweeping romance kind of thing.
Yeah, not even sweeping because it's fairly contained setting-wise, but just a big sweet comedy romance.
You will not believe who one of the screenwriters was among one, two, three, four, four.
I'm going to make a wild guess because you said I won't believe it. So I'm going to say Red Fox.
Dalton Trumbo.
Who is
that? Dalton Trumbo was blacklisted in the McCarthy era or whatever. And there's a movie about
his
life. Yeah,
the Cranston film, right?
The Cranston film, exactly. But he was like a classic old school Hollywood screenwriter.
So they brought him
in.
They
brought him in the mix, and I guess with Audrey Hepburn. That's why I'm like, it sounds like an old, you know, very classic old style of film.
I stand by Always.
I cannot believe I've never even heard of this. I'm not aware of it at all.
No, you're getting killed here.
I'm fine with that.
All right. Emily and I have been – the reason we're doing this, you know, the 80s is so hot right now again.
Oh, it's red hot.
Yeah, and Emily and I have just been we don't have a TV show going right now, and it's kind of felt like a burden to get into a new one.
Sure.
You ever get in those moods?
Yes.
So I'm like, let's just watch Fatal Attraction again, or let's watch Just One of the Guys.
Fatal Attraction is the one with Glenn Close, right?
Yeah, so good. We watched Jagged Edge the other night, too.
Oh, gosh, don't know that one either.
Jeff Bridges and Glenn Close. All right, Noel, number eight.
Okay.
Turner and Hooch. No.
Big no.
He's just shaking his head at this point, everyone. Noel, number nine, To Live and Die in L.A.
Nope.
You would love that
one. I know. We've talked about that before.
That's right.
Casey Pegram loves it. We've talked about it multiple times.
Number 10, Blue Thunder.
No. Is that a helicopter movie? I only know about that because I know what it was. On How Did This Get Made, which is Paul Scheer's bad movie podcast, which I think we both enjoy very much. Mm-hmm. They did an episode on Jaws 3D.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, you know, awful, obviously. And Roy Scheider is not in it.
Right.
He was in the second Jaws because he was, I believe, contractually obligated to do it. But I believe he got out of being in 3 because he was in Blue Thunder.
Ah.
And it's about sort of a futuristic helicopter, right?
Yeah.
Like,
very advanced.
They're testing it out.
Uh-huh.
It ends up being, I don't know, are there Russians involved? I don't know. What happens?
It
sounds cool. No, I want to see it. I love Roy Scheider. And who else is in it? Who's opposite him? Is someone else pretty famous?
The bad guy is Malcolm McDowell.
Yes. Oh, gosh. He's a great bad guy.
And Daniel Stern is the young kid who's his, like,
one of the wet bandits from Home Alone.
Yeah, one of the wet bandits.
Mm-hmm.
Who my brother worked with on City Slickers 2.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, that was the best experience of that movie, was Daniel Stern.
Nice.
Just the best guy, he said.
That's cool. He seems
really,
like
really good dude.
He is with us still, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
You know who's not a nice guy?
Who?
Billy Crystal.
Oh, I can imagine.
All right. Number 11.
Am I zero?
No, you got one.
Which one did I get?
You saw Basic Instinct.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, you're getting killed. I don't even know if this is going to be your first big loss.
That's fine. I'm into it.
Number 11, License to Drive.
Is Corey. That the same as License to Kill?
No. Corey Haim, no, License to Drive.
I haven't seen it.
Or Corey
Feldman?
Yeah, Corey Haim.
Is it Haim? One of the Coreys, yeah.
10-1.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
We'll just keep going here anyway.
Yeah, of course we should keep going. Stop. I want to know.
Number 12, Airplane 2.
Yes. Is that the one where they – no, I don't know if I've seen two. I've definitely seen one. You know, I'm pretty sure I've seen two because when I was a kid, those were like comedies that were kind of raunchy, but they were like PG. But they probably should have been PG-13, okay. But PG-13 didn't exist. So I remember watching those when I was a kid because they were kind of naughty.
Sure.
Even though they were like accessible.
So have you seen Airplane 2?
Pretty sure I have, Chuck.
Okay. That was the one where it was a – I think it was like a space shuttle instead of a plane.
I don't know if I have, Chuck.
I'm going to give it to you.
All right, cool.
That might be a pity point, but
that's fine. I'll take it.
Number 13, Adventures in Babysitting.
No.
The great, great film with Elizabeth Shue.
No.
As a babysitter in her wild night out with children in tow.
Mm-mm.
Good movie. Number 14, Noel, I think you've seen this one, Risky Business.
Is that the one with the pool sharking? I'm thinking of Color of Money. No, there's a sequel to The Color of Money that Tom Cruise is in where he plays pool that's supposed to be really good, but I haven't seen it. Risky Business? No, I haven't seen Risky Business. What's the deal with Risky Business?
Tom Cruise, parents are out of town for the weekend.
Is the one where he slides in his underwear across the...
He has sex workers come over and to make money for, I think, college?
Yeah. But he does slide in his tighty-whities and his socks across the...
Yeah.
Across the floor.
Iconic scene.
I've seen that iconic
Rebecca
scene.
Rebecca De Mornay?
Yeah. No.
Oh, man. Number 15.
Don't know what to say.
Lady Hawk.
Is that the one with the lady and the hawk?
Michelle Pfeiffer, Lady Hawk.
It's a fantasy,
Matthew
right?
Broderick, Rutger Hauer.
It's a fantasy, right?
Yeah, fantasy, medieval time type thing.
You know, I heard... No, I haven't seen it, but I heard something really interesting about that. I can't remember where I heard this. It was on some podcast, but it was. I believe it was shot in Italy, or it was like... The director was Italian. No, it wasn't. The director was Tony Scott, wasn't it?
I don't even
wasn't
know.
Wasn't there a Scott?
That.
I'm pretty sure. Hang on. But point is, they shot it somewhere overseas.
I think you're thinking of Legend by Ridley Scott.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Lady Hawk movie was directed by, I'm sorry, Richard Donner.
Okay.
Who did the Superman movies.
Yeah, Dick Donner.
But the thing that I heard was they filmed it in Italy, And the crews in Italy, because typically Italian movies are dubbed, even all the dialogue is like dubbed afterwards, mm-hmm. they won't be quiet when you shout rolling or action or whatever.
Oh.
And it was making him insane.
Wow.
And I must have heard this as well on How Did This Get Made?
Interesting.
That's the only movie podcast I listen to. But that was interesting for sure.
I love it. Number 16, Noel, War Games.
No. Who is in that?
Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, no. Sorry.
I didn't know that your 80s hole was this large.
It's a very big hole.
Okay. Number 17, Better Off Dead.
Yes. That's with, don't tell me, you know, the guy from Say Anything.
Uh-huh.
Right? What's his name? Cusack?
John Maloney?
John Cusack, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen Better Off Dead.
All right.
Is this the one, that's the one where he works in a burger place, right? Isn't there a weird claymation scene?
Yeah, there is, with Van Halen's Everybody mm-hmm. Wants Some.
Yep.
That was a very odd scene.
And isn't his, like, he's got a buddy, sort of like this grotesque, like, weird little trolley kind of toady guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That he has, yeah, that's a booger from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes.
And from Moonlighting.
Yes, I have seen that.
All right. You pass that one.
On television.
Number 18, Tootsie.
I've not seen Tootsie, no.
Okay. Number 19, Can't Buy Me Love.
No.
Okay. And number 20, little movie with Julia Roberts called Mystic Pizza.
Nope.
Woo! All right, final score, 17-3, and one of those was a pity point.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Noel, you know you got some work to do.
I guess so. Yeah, I don't know. The weird thing is...
You got to see all these. They're all really good.
Really? Yeah. Okay. I'll take your word for it, Chuck. I'll
I mean, maybe, you know, definitely see The Breakfast Club and Fatal Attraction.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to skip just one of the guys and Flashdance and Dirty Dancing, you got to see Always. Got to see To Live and Die in L.A. and Blue Thunder.
Yes.
You can skip License to Drive. You can skip Adventures in Babysitting. You got to see Risky Business, Lady Hawk and War Games.
Okay.
And Tootsie and Can't Buy Me Love.
Okay. What's Can't Buy Me Love?
Teen comedy where the nerd pays a pretty girl to be his girlfriend for a little while.
Oh, okay.
And then he gets vaulted into popularism, and it goes to his head.
Does she end up falling in love with him for realsies?
What do you think?
I don't know.
But you can buy love in that movie.
Yep. Seems that way. Seems like a mixed message they're sending.
All right, Noel, we're going to go with the social studies next.
Social studies on Movie Crush.
I just very simply asked everyone what their favorite 80s comedy was. Pretty simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we got 411 comments, Noel. And I'm just going to mow through these. Our Catherine Brignac says, Princess Bride. Allison Couch, our old friend, says Raising Arizona. Keith Hannon says Better Off Dead. Joshua Ramsey says Innerspace. Boy, what a good movie. You ever see Innerspace?
Yeah, I've seen it on TV. It's Martin Short.
Mm-hmm.
A little spaceship inside dude's head.
Dylan Nichols says Uncle Buck.
That was in the 80s?
Mm-hmm. He said 89.
89, yeah. Because little Macaulay Culkin was in that.
Little did baby you see that?
I have seen that, yeah.
Maybe you should just say whether you've seen it or not so we can further explore your hole.
I think that's fair.
Our old pal Kevin Herbon says Three Amigos.
Nope.
Ooh. J.M. Arroyo, our old pal, says Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yep.
Christopher Paston says Spaceballs.
Yeah, of course I've seen Spaceballs.
TJ Danny says Clue.
I haven't seen Clue. I've been really wanting to. People swear by Clue.
It's great. Our old pal Jeff Noel says, I can't pick one, but I'm going to go with Real Genius or Trading Places.
I've seen Trading Places. Don't know Real Genius.
Okay. Reese Cawson says Blues Brothers.
Nope.
Our old friend Dan Trubati says Spinal Tap easily.
Oh, that's one of my favorite comedies of all time.
Yeah, I knew you had seen
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas Vacation, that comes from Melanie Dickey Wright.
Yeah, I tried watching Vegas Vacation on a plane. I didn't think it was very funny.
Vegas Vacation is not very funny.
Okay.
You were correct.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it was European Vacation. It was okay. It's really just the original. Christmas Vacation's pretty good.
Got it.
But it's really just those three that are even passable.
Was Vegas Vacation newer?
Yeah.
They did
kind of later.
I'm sorry. I saw the original Vacation and didn't think it was that funny.
Oh, wow.
Really? I think there, yeah, I don't know. Like, there's something about the style of humor just didn't quite. There was parts that I thought was funny,
okay,
but I just found myself kind of getting like out of it and just like not.
You may not like Chevy Chase.
I guess I don't. Maybe I don't.
It's possible. Have you seen Fletch?
No. Is that the one where he falls down a lot?
I don't think you like Chevy Chase.
All right.
Fletch would let you know for sure.
Now, did I tell you that my mom was in a Chevy Chase movie called Foul Play?
Yes.
With him and Goldie Hawn?
Yeah.
And she's in the opera scene at the end.
God,
she's in the
so
credits.
Great.
I actually quite enjoyed that movie, but maybe it was because my mom was in it.
Well, that's also that Neil Simon sort of early Chevy Chase. He did a couple of movies with him that was less Chevy Chase-like
because
it was Neil Simon.
Yeah, and I enjoyed
it. He was really good in those movies, I think. Back to the Future, of course, from Brett Giles.
Love it.
Our old friend Carrie Armour says Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension.
I have not seen that. Isn't that Peter Weller?
Yes.
Mr. RoboCop himself?
Yeah. You would like that, Noel. Jonathan Gerber says Back to the Future, of course, followed by Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Our old pal Karen Schlump Hughes says Caddyshack. You didn't like Caddyshack either, right?
I thought it was funny. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
I thought I remember you saying you didn't quite like it.
It's just, I mean, it's not my favorite thing in the whole wide world,
yeah.
but there are things that are funny about it.
I think that's a generational thing, too. I think dudes my age love Caddyshack.
Yeah.
And younger people are a little bit more like, really?
I also, like, I saw Animal House, and I'm like, it's perfectly funny. It's fine, but it's not, like, uproariously hilarious to me. And I just didn't find myself being like, oh, God, that was a good movie. I got to watch that again, you know?
Certainly, compared to, like, well, I'm not going to do that.
No,
I don't want to get in trouble. Rachel Jones says Rochelle Jones says The Goonies.
Love The Goonies.
Even went to visit Astoria, Oregon, where it was filmed. And I'm from Australia. Wow.
The Goonies is genuinely funny. And it's an adventure. It's got great characters. Like, it's
great.
Not, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not cynical.
No.
It's got this adventure spirit, kind of. And
so great.
It's like, physical comedy is great.
Yeah.
Like, everything about it.
To be a kid when that movie came out, like, the adventure aspect of it, like, that's all every kid ever wanted to
do
was go on some adventure
looking
for pirate treasure.
I tried watching it with my kid a year or so ago. I did not realize how kind of raunchy it is. Like, the language that these kids talk
a little bit.
They talk about a lot of sex stuff.
Yeah, there's some stuff here and
so there was some stuff that I was like, but now my kid is just obsessed with Stranger Things.
Right.
She understands the connection, and she gets all of those old 80s kind of movie tropes, which I think is kind of neat, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
What's old is new again and all that.
Yep, that's the circle of life. That's how it happens. Jimmy Mallory, an old friend, says Real Genius, another. Vote for that one. That's interesting. Matt Hosley says Ghostbusters. Dana Gustafson says Princess Bride and Ferris Bueller. Interesting. I'm looking for something. I wonder when someone's going to chime in with, like, something that doesn't feel like an 80s movie but was in the 80s, like Absence of Malice or something.
Mm.
Like a serious film. No one's naming any serious films, Noel.
Real Genius with Val Kilmer.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
I'm not familiar.
But again, a lot of these are good in an 80s sensibility. Like, when I watch them now, it's largely nostalgic. Can't Buy Me Love isn't some great, great film. But it's a good little 80s teen comedy, you know.
I guess that's my thing with a lot of the movies that you picked. They all seem very quintessentially, like, 80s, like,
oh,
of
for
the
sure.
time.
Uh-huh.
Whereas the movies that I'd like from the 80s were just movies that happened to
they
come out in the
80s.
They stand the test of time, Chuck. I think that's
snob.
I'm not being a snob. I'm just telling you why my hole is in that shape, in that particular shape.
I gotcha. Okay, Juan A. Nieto. Welcome to the club, Juan. I don't think we've seen you yet. Bill and Ted, and then Scrooged.
Scrooged is funny. I think Scrooged holds up. I think that was
pretty funny. Yeah, Scrooged holds up. Here's my dirty secret. I didn't think Bill and Ted's was that great. I liked it okay.
No, it's
I mean,
stupid.
I liked it, but I was never like – I was not one of those guys who really, really like lost their mind over that movie.
Here's the buy-in. The buy-in is these two stoner bros doing some space-time travel shit. And that's it. It's like, what a wacky concept, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but the movie, the dialogue, everything about it itself is not very good. And the second one came out when I was younger, and it was in theaters, and I had not seen the original, but it was like The Bogus Journey or whatever. I think The Bogus Journey is actually funnier
really?
Than the Excellent Adventure.
I don't remember which one I thought was funnier. I was pretty into it, though. Come to think of it, I don't know. Maybe it was an age thing.
Yeah, then do
it
another one.
Yeah, and when I heard about that, I was like, cool. But I wasn't like, oh, my God, right, finally. No,
of course, finally. Like, everyone's been screaming about it. Alex Winter, who plays the one that is not Keanu Reeves, he's a conspiracy guy. He made a documentary about the Dread Pirate Roberts, who was this, like, big – he had the Silk Road, which was that dark web kind of drug smuggling or illegal stuff smuggling ring. And he did a documentary about him, and we had him on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know.
Oh, cool.
And he was really nice. He paused the interview for a second so he could eat his Hot Pocket. That is my memory of that interview.
Where did you interview him?
On the phone. He was at his was at his house.
I was like, did he bring a fucking
No, we
hot
heard
pocket?
The ding, and then he was like, excuse me, guys, I gotta eat my Hot Pocket real quick.
Do you think that's a joke?
No, I heard the ding.
Yeah, but do you think he's joking about it being a Hot Pocket?
No, I think it was a Hot Pocket.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that would be a pretty funny bit. It was like whenever he's on a business call.
Yeah, just to diffuse the situation
and say
as a power move.
Yeah, Hot Pocket.
That's funny.
I would do that.
I didn't think about that. It could be.
I'm going to steal that. All right. Barry King, old friend, says The Money Pit and Overboard.
Money Pit's the one about the house that's all falling apart, right?
Yeah, that's a pretty fun movie.
Is that Tom Hanks?
Mm-hmm. And Diane from Cheers.
Got it.
Shelley Long.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that one all the way through, but I definitely know enough about it to know that I've seen parts of it.
Yeah, the 80s was great because you could, like, Shelley Long was a leading lady, you know? And today that would be like Megan Fox.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
Megan Fox. There are certainly some like Girl Next Door types in Hollywood these days,
but of course.
It feels like everybody now, it just has to be so uber attractive.
I guess so, but I do feel like we're entering into a period, even with pop music, where massive over-sexualization of women is starting to fall away a little bit, whether it's a product of the Me Too movement and like people being taken to task for all this shitty behavior.
I agree.
But like my kid is really into this pop artist, Billie Eilish, who wears really big, baggy, you know, what some might say unbecoming clothes.
Yeah.
But she's like, I do it, so you can't over-sexualize me if you can't see my body.
Right.
And I think the fact that my kid is into someone who's a fashion icon like that, rather than like a fucking Britney Spears or something
like that,
is a big deal. Yeah. And I'm seeing that in movies, too. You've got like Melissa McCarthy as a leading lady in, Oscar bait type movies.
You're right.
So I don't know. I think we're
I want to rephrase my statement. That was very much Hollywood, like, 5 years and beyond.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we're only just seeing it happen.
Right.
But it is happening now that the Weinsteins of the world have finally been exposed openly as being the shitbags that they are, you know?
That's right. No, I like that little soapbox moment.
Well, you know.
Our friend Jason Loeb says National Lampoon's Vacation. And then let's just finish it off here with, okay, here we go. Here's a different one. Tracy Miller, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh, yeah.
Rabbit?
Rarebit.
Rarebit.
Rarebit. That's English rarebit. That's the thing. That's the breakfast food that dude likes in Phantom Thread.
Right. Jeez.
Roger Rarebit. That's a good one. That's a weird one, man. I saw it when I was a kid, and I was kind of disturbed by it. It's got a lot of weird sexual cartoony stuff with Jessica Rarebit, you know? And
you know what, Noel? I've never seen that movie all the way through.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That is one of my big holes.
That is a rarebit-shaped hole right there, my friends.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there's a whole thing with Judge Doom, like, that's played by Christopher Lloyd. He melts into a puddle of slime in the end, and, like, there's, like, toxic waste and crazy, weird shit, man.
This psychedelic?
Not psychedelic. Yeah, a little bit psychedelic. Yeah. It almost reminds me of that Ralph Bakshi stuff, you know, where it's, like, creepy babies that talk like old grizzled detectives and smoke cigars and shit, you know?
Sure.
It's that kind of thing. I remember seeing that when I was a kid.
I need to check that out.
It's cool. It's interesting because it's definitely it was hard to make a movie like that where you mix live action with cartoons and have it work, and that one really kind of does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, classic. I don't know why I didn't see it.
When was Encino Man? That was in the 80s. That was in the early 90s, I think.
I bet
it was 90.
That feels like a 1990
movie. It
really
does.
A movie caught between eras, doesn't know what it is.
The reason I bring that up is I absolutely saw Encino Man in the theaters when
I was really
very young.
I never saw that movie.
92. 92.
Yeah, I never saw that. I never saw any of the Pauly Shore movies. You know, that
Encino
feels like
Man was kind of the first one, I believe.
Was Pauly Shore in that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's one where he goes, wheezing the juice.
I just remember Brendan Fraser was Encino Man, right?
He was Encino Man.
Okay.
Which was like, he was like a what do you call it? Which is, this is actually kind of very much a carryover 80s type of movie concept. He's a caveman hanging out in modern day Encino, California, right, going to the mall and skateboarding and trying to figure out how to assimilate. Wolf. Exactly. Yeah, very much so.
Have you seen Teen Wolf?
I have seen Teen Wolf. Okay. I've seen Teen Wolf 2 as well.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. All right, I think we should just wrap it up, Noel, and spank it on the bottom.
I think that's fine.
And send this one out into internet land.
I'm ready to crush some judgments.
Let's do it.
All right. See you next time, folks.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.